Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today. I just sense the love of God, and I am so grateful for faithful listeners, faithful UCM partners. Some of you I know have never written, but I know that God has ministered to you through this broadcast, and Jesus is the one to receive all the glory, because that's our heart's desire, beloved, to see you be all that God wants you to be. Praise God that you have a reason to be born for such a time as this. We're alive in the times in which we're living. They're evil times. We're living in perilous times. But that means God knew when He created you, He arranged the day of your birth, He has numbered your days, and He has you alive at this point in time, regardless of how old you are, regardless of your health, your situation, regardless of your circumstances, because you have a work that no one else can do. And I sensed, as I was waiting on the Lord before yesterday's broadcast and all the way through, I sense God wants to reactivate. He wants to stir up His anointing in you. He wants you to move forward in Him. Because, beloved, there's times that we can so get caught up in our lives, the normal routine of the things that we have to do, the job, the responsibilities, the family, all the things that are a normal, natural part of life, shopping for groceries, doing the laundry, doing the things that are a part of life. Somehow we can, by just the repetition, because of the burdens and trials, the things we go through, it takes everything in us to keep vision and focus. And that is one of the ways the enemy, I believe, wears us down. There are times there's outright severe battles, crises, real tremendous attacks against our faith, against the things we hold dear. And there are times of trauma and of crisis, but many times when things are relatively quiet, sometimes that's the most dangerous time. For God will be to us a very present help in the time of trouble. When things are relatively calm, well, that's the time we need to be especially alert, especially prayerful, that our zeal for the Lord and our love for the Lord will not wane, that we won't be lulled into a lukewarmness and just a lack of vision and saying, oh yes, I know someday I hope God will use me this way. But what is it, for example, that God has placed on your heart? What vision? You may be feeling called to ministry, and by that I mean like public ministry, to be a pastor or to be an evangelist, go on to Bible school. Others, you know, we're all able ministers of the gospel of reconciliation. Mark the 16th chapter says, these signs shall follow all that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall tread upon serpents and scorpions. They shall lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Perhaps you have a vision that you want to be very effective in prayer. You know God's placed a ministry of intercession on your heart, and it seems like everything, every hindrance, every interruption has prevented you from moving on into that desired place in the Spirit where you can see victories wrought for the Lord, for the people of God. Or you may have a ministry of music. It seems all the doors have closed. You may desire with all of your heart for God to use you in seeing people healed, not just physically, but emotionally. God may have given you a ministry of exhortation, of encouragement, of hospitality. Whatever it is, the enemy will do everything he can to shove that into the background. I hope I'm making myself clear. I believe many are witnessing to this very thing, because we all can fall prey to this work of the enemy, where we're so occupied by the the annoying is like a flurry of insects and bees and mosquitoes and things just blocking your vision, where there's a real battle going on and where God needs you to move forward, and you're just being harassed in a multitude of small ways that you're losing the vision, the focus. And the Word of God tells us, if our eye be single, our whole body shall be full of light. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And my prayer, I haven't even gotten far in the message to even share scripture, but I'm sensing the unction of the Holy Spirit that God wants to bring you back with such a clarity of focus and of minds, of concentration, of commitment to the Lord, not turning to the right or to the left, to keep your focus single. If your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. And God wants you to move on forward into Him, that you can see not only the things you desire, but those things, it's what God has placed in your heart to do for His glory. Praise God. And so, beloved, let's resolve. Let's say, I'm no longer, devil, you're not holding me back anymore, but I'm going forward in Jesus. All things must be tested and proved, beloved. And instead of just throwing up our hands in despair when the testing times come, we can and should lift up our hands in praise to God, because we are equipped and ready to meet the trial head on in Christ. In our carnal nature, in that, you see, our spirit man, when we're saved, Jesus dwells within our spirit, but we have to allow the Lord to, with His grace, with His help, allow that carnal nature, the natural man, to be subservient to the Spirit of the Lord, the spirit man within us. And in our carnal nature, there's problems because, you know, we all are self-centered. We can be stubborn. And the Word of God tells us that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. You're worshiping your own desires, your own preferences, rather than saying, Lord, what do you want? And you know, God is so gracious. As we surrender to Him and seek Him first, oh, He will not be outdone. He's so good. He's so gracious. And He will do exceedingly abundantly whatever heart's desires. He knows how to lavish His goodness and grace upon us. God desires the salvation of man, but man without Christ, left to do his own thing, doesn't desire Christ and is lost. We love Him because He first loved us, because it wasn't our desire for God. I mean, there was a time the Holy Spirit began to move, but when we were lost and undone and we wanted some of you nothing to do with God, He was reaching out to you to draw you close. Man in his unsaved condition is by nature sinful. By choice, he is sinful, and by birth, he is sinful and lost. Man is desperately in need of God's provisions for every area of his life. And it's sad that with such good news that we have been given, with the precious promises, the exceeding great and precious promises that are in the Word of God, that millions of nominal Christians lead a life of despair instead of victory and praise and hope and joy. God didn't intend that His people should have to crawl through life aimlessly, but that they should be happy and have vision and have the ability and the strength to make that vision a reality. Beloved, Proverbs tells us, without a vision, the people perish. And that's just not as a people group, not as a nation, not as a church, but individually. Whatever vision, whatever desires, whatever thing God has placed in your heart that brings joy, where you can look forward to do whatever it is God has placed on your heart. He's given you gifts and abilities. Are you functioning in them? He wants us to devote our lives to that which will please Him, as well as be a blessing to our fellow man. Not only to the body of Christ, we're to do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And let's take a moment now to look at the Word of the Lord, because whatever I'm saying, there should be something in the Word to back it up. And to do so, I turn to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6, and we see the Spirit of the Lord. We see Jesus speaking to one of His churches. And in chapter 3, verse 1, He says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I've not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Somehow, how God moved in their paths. He's saying, think back to those times. Remember and hold fast those truths, those treasures, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. One of the most truthful, factual things about the Lord Jesus Christ, among so many, is this. You don't have to wonder where you're at with him. And in this first verse, Jesus said, you have a name of life, but you're really dead. Only their name stated they lived. But what was Jesus' indictment? He said they were dead. Well, my time has come to a close, and we're just beginning to look at what God and the significance of what Jesus was saying to this church. How can we apply it to our lives? Are there areas that we need to repent, to remember where we used to be? God is moving to stir us up, to cleanse us as we come to him in repentance. I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on in the word of the Lord. But if you are struggling in areas, beloved, God has raised up this ministry since 1965 to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. And it's a sacred privilege and honor to be able to join with you. And if God is moving on your heart, if you have been stuck and you need to move on and your own personal prayers haven't seemed to produce results, there's power in agreement. According to the word of God, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. You don't have to write a lot. God has given me the Spirit of God so I can read between the lines. I understand, and I have, my heart is so in continual prayer for God's people to be all that he wants you to be. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.